The film that we're going to be talking about today is Turbo. And Turbo is about a snail who desires and dreams about going fast in life. And he wants to, his dream is to race in the Indy 500 as a snail. And he ends up getting sucked into an engine and getting injected with nitrous oxide and getting this super speed that he has. And he ends up getting to race in the Indy 500 as a snail. And so they tout it as an underdog story. But what I was thinking about with that is that this snail, by the power of this nitrous oxide, is able to do extraordinary things. Just as we, as believers in Christ, who are indwelled by the power of the Holy Spirit, are able to do extraordinary things for God. And so what I want to talk about today is a little bit about the Holy Spirit. And I read a book by Francis Chan called The Forgotten God. And it's a very good book that talks about the fact that we often, in the American church, especially in evangelicalism, kind of put the Holy Spirit on the side as, yeah, he's God, but we don't really know much about him and we don't really do a lot with him. And so he challenges us to really take a look at, let's see, what position does the Holy Spirit have in the Godhead, and what role does the Holy Spirit have in our lives as Christians, and what role did the Holy Spirit have in the first century church? And that's where I want to look at today, is John chapter 14. And it's on your handout there. If you love me, obey my commandments. This is Jesus speaking. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, or the word could be counselor, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. So Jesus is getting ready to leave earth, and he says, guys, this is going to be hard for you because I'm leaving. But I'm going to give you someone who, and we'll talk about this later, who is actually going to be better for you than if I were to stay here myself. And that person that he's giving is the Holy Spirit. And when it says that he will give you another counselor, it means the same kind. It's the same type of thing. So it's the same power that Jesus had is now going to be given by the Holy Spirit to these disciples and to all of us who believe. And so Jesus provides this comfort, and he says, another counselor is coming. And it's to your advantage, disciples, that I am leaving, because if I don't leave, then you will not have this counselor. You will not have the power of the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 2, we see the fulfillment of this. When the power of the Holy Spirit comes on, and the tongues of flame, and they're speaking in tongues, and they're preaching. And the Holy Spirit's power is just unleashed in an amazing way. And Peter, in this message, tells everyone that if you believe in Jesus, this power of the Holy Spirit, this Holy Spirit is available to you and will live inside of you. And then if you look in the epistles and the rest of the New Testament, you read about all of the things that the Holy Spirit does and all of the whole things the Holy Spirit provides for those of us who believe. And we learn about the supernatural gifts. We learn about all of the ways that the Holy Spirit works in and through those who believe. Now, if we read these accounts and we just read the Bible without any of the other theological baggage that we bring to the table, what would we expect the Holy Spirit to be like today? And, you know, I'm not sure the answer to that. And I want you to journey with me as we discover this, because a lot of times we have put the Holy Spirit in a box and we said, well, this is how the Holy Spirit must work because this is how I'm comfortable with it. This doesn't make me uncomfortable, so this must be how the Holy Spirit is doing it. Or, I know the Holy Spirit's leading me to do this because that's really what I want to do anyway. So that must be the Holy Spirit leading. I think that in a lot of ways we have put the Holy Spirit in a position that the Holy Spirit didn't ask to be put. And I don't think that we are living in a way that we acknowledge even that we need the Holy Spirit. Because if we're honest, most of us could probably get by living without the Holy Spirit, according to the world's standards. God's probably given you enough talent and enough wisdom and life experience that you could probably get by just fine without submitting your life to the Holy Spirit, according to the world. But the question for us is, do we want to be led by the Holy Spirit? Are we going to be led by the Holy Spirit, or are we going to be someone who says, I'm okay. The Holy Spirit, you kind of scare me, so you stay over here, and I'm going to stay over here where it's comfortable and where I understand. Romans 8:9 says, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. And Christ lives within you, so even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life, because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Guys, does this sound like the Holy Spirit that we usually think of? I mean, if I think about what I think of when I think of the Holy Spirit, I've probably put the Holy Spirit in a pretty small box. And it's a comfortable box for me because it's over here. And I like to go to it occasionally. But then I like to take him out and maybe play with him a little bit and then put him back in the box. And it's just easier. And the Holy Spirit, it says, it's the Spirit that gives us life, because it's the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. So if that Spirit, if I believe that the Holy Spirit is the power, is the Spirit of God that rose Jesus from the dead, which I do, and I do believe that Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit to indwell us and to live within us, as I do, then where is the disconnect between the power of the Spirit and the understanding of the Spirit in the New Testament church and my understanding of the Spirit and my experience of the Spirit now? If the Spirit is living within you and within me, then there should be a difference between the way that we live and the way that the world lives. He gives a really good example in the book about, if I was given the supernatural ability to be an awesome basketball player, okay? And you know, from my experience, I am an awesome basketball player. But even more so, if you saw me on the court, you'd be just amazed at how well I can shoot hoops. And I've never been able to dunk, but if I was told you that I was indwelled by the Holy Spirit and by this basketball God, let's just call it, you would expect me to be able to what? Dunk. You'd probably expect me to play really good defense, have a really good three-point shot, have all of these things, really improve on my game if you could. But you would expect that the game would be just amazing to watch me. And you would be true to that because I was indwelled by the basketball God. Now, if we take this to the Holy Spirit, now if I am saying that as a believer in Christ, I have been indwelled by the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, but I'm not living differently than my friends and neighbors who don't claim to be followers of Christ, then where does that leave me? Where does that leave them? What's my witness to them now? Because then they're going to either say that I'm a liar, Or they're going to say that the God that I say is indwelling me isn't very powerful, because my life's not any different than someone who doesn't say that they have the Holy Spirit living within them. Does that make sense? Jesus said that in order for the Holy Spirit to come, he had to leave. And because he left, it was actually going to be greater for us and for the believers and the disciples. Because in John 16:7, it says, "But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you." It is better, Jesus says, it's better for Jesus to not be with us in person as opposed to having the Spirit living within us. Jesus is saying this. Do we believe what Jesus is saying? Now, a lot of us, if we had Jesus right next to us all day, just physical presence of Jesus right by us, how many of you would change the way you live? How many of you would change the way you drive? Okay? Now, Jesus says it's better that he's not here, because that power of God is within us. And so while it's really would be great to have Jesus right here, we have God, the Holy Spirit, indwelling us and living with us. And God, Jesus says that's better than if Jesus was right here with us. Now, when we go through our lives, we need to, maybe it would be helpful to picture Jesus right with us, because that's really basically what it is with the Holy Spirit living within us. We have God within us and by us. A quote from the book says, "I do not know what the Spirit will do or where he'll lead me each time I invite him to guide me. But I am tired of living in a way that looks exactly like people who do not have the Holy Spirit of God living in them. I want to consistently live with an awareness of his strength. I want to be different today from what I was yesterday as the fruit of the Spirit becomes more manifest in me." Do we live differently because the Spirit is living within us? And the answer should be yes. Now, some of the things in Scripture that we read about that the Spirit does. Number one is the Spirit helps us speak when we are in precarious situations and need to bear witness. The Counselor teaches and reminds us of what we need to know and remember. The Holy Spirit is our comforter, our advisor, our encourager, and our strength. He guides us in the way we should go. From the Spirit, we receive power to be God's witnesses to the ends of the earth. It is the Spirit who draws people to the gospel, the Spirit who equips us with the strength we need to accomplish God's purposes. The Holy Spirit not only initially draws people to God, he also draws believers closer to Jesus. By the power of the Spirit, we put to death the misdeeds of the body. The Spirit sets us free from the sins we cannot get rid of on our own. This is a lifelong process we entered into, in partnership with the Spirit when we first believed. Through the Spirit, we have received a spirit of adoption as children, which leads us into intimacy with the Father instead of a relationship based on fear and slavery. The Spirit bears witness to us that we are his children. The Holy Spirit convicts people of sin. He does this both before we initially enter into right relationship with God and as we journey through this life as believers. The Spirit brings us life and freedom. Where the Spirit is, there is freedom, not bondage or slavery. In our world that is plagued with death, this is a profound truth that points to real hope. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we abound with hope, because our God is a God of hope who fills his children with all joy and peace. As members of God's kingdom community, each of us is given a manifestation of the Spirit in our lives for the purpose of the common good. We all have something to offer because of what the Spirit gives to us. The spirit of being led by the Spirit of God includes love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These attitudes and actions will characterize our lives as we allow ourselves to be grown and molded by the Spirit. The Spirit is our sanctifier. Is that the Holy Spirit that we know? Is that the Holy Spirit that we experience? Because that's the Holy Spirit of the Scriptures. That's the Holy Spirit that's been promised to us by Jesus. And if we don't experience this, then we need to really open our minds and open our ears and open our hearts to the Spirit and invite the Spirit to come into our lives and to manifest Himself in a way that He desires to manifest Himself, not in a prescribed way that we try to allow Him in. Simon the magician was a man in Scripture who wanted the power of the Holy Spirit. He saw the disciples, and he saw the way that they were able to do miracles and speak in tongues and pass on the Spirit to others. And he was astounded by them. And the people were greatly astounded by him before the disciples came in. And he believed, and he was baptized, and Philip preached to him and baptized him. And Simon wanted the abilities that he saw in Philip. And he offered money to pay for the ability to give people the Holy Spirit. And Peter replies this to him. He says, "May your money be destroyed with you for thinking God's gift can be bought. You can have no part in this, for your heart is not right with God. Repent of your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps He will forgive your evil thoughts, for I can see that you are full of bitter jealousy and held captive by sin." Folks, the Spirit that God has promised us, we don't have to pay for. Jesus has paid that price by dying on the cross for our sins. And when Jesus died and was resurrected, He sent the Spirit. And that is a free gift to all of us who believe. And the purpose of sending the Spirit was not for our own gain. It was for the gain of the church. It was for the common good, 1 Corinthians 12 says, given so each of us can help each other. The Holy Spirit has given us talents and abilities and has directed us to do things in our lives. And I wonder, how many times have we said, "No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go talk to that person. I'm not going to respond to the way that I feel the Spirit is leading me." We want to direct the Spirit, don't we? Like I alluded to earlier, "God, I really would like to go do that. Spirit, could you lead me that direction?" Or I go do something and someone says, "Why are you doing that?" "Oh, the Spirit told me to. I feel God's leading this direction." I think we've all done that to a certain extent. But what would it look like if every single one of us in this room today said, "Holy Spirit, whatever you want me to do, I will do." And just left it at that. Well, not just leave it at that, but then actually did it. What kind of a church would we be if we were all truly being led by the Spirit? What kind of an impact could we have if we were willing to say, "You know what, Holy Spirit, lead me and I will go"? This topic of the Holy Spirit is not one that can be contained into one sermon, just like the Holy Spirit cannot Himself be contained. And I want to continue the conversation because I think that in our efforts to condemn the people like Simon who want to buy the Holy Spirit or claim to be using the Holy Spirit and turn out to be doing things deceitful and doing things that we would call crazy, I think that as a people, we have let the pendulum swing the other direction. and we say, you know what, this is scary over here, what they're doing, and this is just nuts. So we're going to go over here, and we're going to put the Holy Spirit in a box and just keep him where it's comfortable. And so I think that what we need to do as a church and as a body of believers is that we need to commit to studying about the Holy Spirit and reading in Scripture about the Holy Spirit and talking about the Holy Spirit with one another and not be afraid of what might happen by allowing the Holy Spirit to truly guide us and truly direct us as individuals and as a church. Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank you for the gift of your Spirit. I thank you for the gift of your Son. I thank you that we can come to you and that we can cry out to you and that you will answer us. And God, I pray that as a church and as a people, we will not try to put the Holy Spirit in a box, but instead, God, help us to call out to you and say, Spirit, lead us wherever that may be. Help us to be open to that leading and help us to be obedient to the call that you have placed on us and that you will place on us when we are willing to go. Like Isaiah, we say, Lord, here am I, send me. No matter what it is, Lord, no matter what we need to do, no matter what we need to say, no matter where we need to go, may we be open to your Spirit and your Spirit's leading. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.